Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 55 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. In this week's show, we're taking a smug look at the home victory over the Chargers. We'll be taking a brief look at the rest of the AFC West rivals, plus we'll be giving you our preview of the Week 3 opponents, the Indianapolis Colts. But first,
Robert, what are your expectations for this Chargers defense this season?
Oh, pure dominance.
I am a big fan of the Raiders.
Expect Josh McDaniels to absolutely knock this job out of the park.
I am expecting big things from the Las Vegas Raiders this year.
Broncos country, let's ride.
So the AFC West rivals are still chasing the Chiefs in the division after all the talk and the chest beating throughout preseason, throughout the offseason, that the Raiders are going to be the best offense in the AFC West, and the Chargers are going to be toppling the Chiefs, and the Broncos are going to be on the coattails. We still find ourselves Chiefs 2-0, top of the division. It's early days yet, but I'm already getting carried away, mate. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be this easy, was it? I thought the Chiefs were opening with like the hardest schedule in NFL history, wasn't it? Or something like that. Like,
something like that.
You're looking at the AFC West and it's just like more of the same, the status quo. Like, Thursday night, the Chiefs win a game against the Chargers. And already the rest of the NFL are chasing the Chiefs. Already.
Yeah.
Like, okay, granted, a lot of teams went to 2-0 as well. I think there's now six teams at 2-0 in the NFL. But for 3 days, the rest of the NFL was already behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And the AFC West has already given the Chiefs a head start. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid wins yet another AFC West divisional clash against the team that they struggled the most against since they've been in town together.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, AFC West? Like, surely the Raiders, the Broncos and the Chargers should have come together and made some little like secret club where they say, right, we all have to beat the Chiefs in divisional games. Like, maybe, I don't know, dress Chandler Jones up as like another pass rusher, maybe send in Davante Adams to replace Keenan Allen, like, just for the week. Like, they must have had to do something. They must have come together with this plan to topple the Chiefs. But yet again, it's failed. It's week two, and the AFC West already looks like it's going to be Kansas City's this year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get onto the Chargers in a minute, because obviously that's something we're going to be briefly discussing in this show. But the Raiders blow a 20-point lead, which is apparently the largest blowout they've had in their history, where they've given up 20 points. When you had the beginning of this game, there was all talk from the Raiders. It was almost like a party atmosphere. I don't know if you saw it all on all the pregame and everything, but it was almost a party atmosphere there. People were throwing champagne around already when the Raiders went up in their massive lead, and it was like a party atmosphere because they clearly saw what happened with the Cardinals against the Chiefs in week one. And I think they thought, this is going to be a breeze. This is absolutely going to be an absolute blowout for us here because we've clearly got the better offense. That's what their mindset was.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that really kind of slipped them up in a way. The fact they stopped scoring points. Yeah, but they didn't
that
take it. I don't think it took it lightly. I don't know what it was. It was almost like a brain fart in the fact that, oh, well, you know, we're 20 points up. It's going to be a breeze, this. But whatever the Cardinals did.
I didn't watch the game. I've only caught the highlights. I actually watched the first half and then I got bored and went to bed. And because I thought, oh, the Raiders are going to do to the Cardinals what the Chiefs done to the Cardinals, which was a perfectly reasonable way of thinking. I thought, I'm going to wake up in the morning, the Cardinals might have got 10 more points and like the Raiders might have got 10 more. So like 30-10. That's what I was fully expecting to wake up to. Mm. Woke up in the morning and I saw on my fantasy app, actually, the Cardinals won the game in overtime. And I'm thinking, how the hell did they manage that? So although I haven't watched the game, for the Raiders to take such a big lead, and what was it, midway through the third quarter, they've still got a 20-point lead. And to go on to lose to a team that looked dead and buried, looked like they were going to get off to a terrible start of the season. And the Cardinals, the Cardinals traditionally a team that start the season very well, and it looked like it was going to be the complete opposite for them. But for the Raiders not to be able to close that game out, and I've seen some of the plays at the end, like the amount of times they had to, like the amount of opportunities, rather, they had to murder Kyler Murray and they just didn't manage to do it. And he managed to keep play after play after play alive. Like there was one play I saw, I think it might have been a 2-point conversion. And it was just, it was like some crazy Madden play.
Yeah.
Where like Max Crosby and all these other guys for the Raiders defensive line were just trying to get hold of Kyler Murray. And they just couldn't. It was like watching Lamar Jackson mixed with Michael Vick, mixed with Kyler Murray. It was just insane. It was like a whirlwind. No one could get near him.
Like Benny Hill music.
Surely or not. Surely. Like the Cardinals couldn't have like two of those plays, let alone one. Yeah, and they did. They had two. They had three of those plays. They had all these miracle plays at the end of this game. And as soon as they started happening, you just knew that like overtime coming along, it was probably only going to be one winner. And obviously it come in the form of Byron Murphy.
Of all people.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, have you seen that he almost done the Derek Carr special with a touchback?
No, I didn't.
Apparently there's a stat going around that he was 0.02 seconds or early. Sorry, let me say this correctly. He was 0.02 seconds away from that being a touchback when he ran into the end zone.
No way.
Because, yeah, he almost done a Derek Carr / Deshaun Jackson's type of special.
Brilliant.
Like, that would have been, because there's a lot of people that hate that rule. Yeah. They hate the whole fumble through the end zone being a touchback rule.
Well, especially I remember, obviously,
and obviously, do you remember when it happened with the Chiefs Browns game and Dan Sorensen knocked the receiver out cold or whatever it was, and he fumbled through the back of the end zone? I remember at the time, loads of people calling for that rule to be reversed, and thankfully they didn't, because I actually love that rule because I'm very much of the opinion of, you don't score until you scored. Like you basically, if you want to score, you have to look after the football, and possession is what, 9/10 of the law? Is that what the saying is?
I think that's the saying, You need to
keep hold of that ball the whole way through the process of scoring. If you have to keep the hold of the ball the whole way through the process of the catch going to the ground, then surely the ball has to cross the line. Like, you don't give a goal in football if the full ball doesn't cross the line. You don't go, oh, half the ball, oh, we're just going to give that a goal. You have, that whole ball has to cross the line in football. And likewise, in American football, the ball has to break the plane. And if you cannot look after that ball and it slips out and it fumbles and goes through back through the end zone, well, you've been too careless with it and it serves you right to lose that game. That's why I never have any sympathy for Derek Carr. Obviously, I might have been a little bit biased had Byron Murphy dropped that ball and it went out for a touchback and the Raiders went back to win that game.
Yeah.
And so then I might have been calling for that rule change. But right now, the way I see it, is that if you want to score a touchdown, you've got the ball in hand, just look after the ball. Byron Murphy, you got lucky this time. You won't get as lucky next time.
Just looking at the Broncos, they won 16-9, but
they were bad.
They were terrible, weren't they? I mean, it's lucky that they were playing the Texans right about then.
Wilson dancing out of the pocket and throws it away. And once again, with booze raining down, Denver Denver is not able to get it done in a goal-to-go situation. However, Nathaniel Hackett is keeping his offense on the field for fourth and goal.
One of the things that Lovie Smith talked to us about is that everybody's staying in their rush lanes. And once you do that, you have to realize you are chasing a 5 foot, 10 inch quarterback who maybe doesn't see over everybody.
I mean, they were completely unconvincing. It was funny as well, because did you hear the fans counting down on the clock?
With the fans counting down the play clock.
Broncos country, let's ride.
And it's just poorly coached.
It is poor. Very poor. Very poor.
Like,
let's ride.
Russell Wilson, I just don't get it. Like, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And he is a good player.
He can count as well, surely.
Yeah, true. But I look at the Broncos and I look at the head coaching and the way they're being coached, and it's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
And
it looked like a hot mess.
Is it because, right, Nathaniel Hackett is a rookie head coach? Do we have to give him the growing pains, the teething pains? Do we have to allow for that and give him the benefit of the doubt? Or do we just look at this guy and just go, actually, he's not very good?
He's clueless.
Like, part of me thinks, and honestly, like, this is obviously the pessimist in me for the Broncos, is I wonder if the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett because they were convinced that he could bring Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the only reason why they hired him as a head coach.
Could be.
And obviously, when they couldn't get Aaron Rodgers, they then moved on to Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson only joined the Broncos because of not because of Nathaniel Hackett, because of the massive paycheck that was going to come his way. And yeah, ultimately did come his way.
It could be.
They're just in such a bad place right now. Yeah, they're 1-1. They're only half a game back from the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs in a few weeks' time. They could be, I don't know, maybe just two or three games behind Wissy. But, yeah, you know, I'm getting cheeky now. But I just look at them and I think they are just not in the same realm as the AFC elite anymore. Like, who are the AFC elite teams right now? The Bills and the Chiefs?
Bills and the Chiefs, I would say right about now, yes.
And who underneath them? What? The Chargers, Dolphins, the Ravens.
I would agree with that, probably.
Are there anyone else? Is there anyone else?
No. Really? And it really isn't. And it's strange because we were thinking, obviously, the AFC is jam-packed full of these superstar players. And at the moment, like you said, we've got, you know, we've got obviously Herbert and Mahomes, and we've got Wilson in our division, who, like you said before, he's an established player. He's a star player, but for some reason it just hasn't clicked yet already at the Broncos. But you're right. I thought the AFC was going to be a lot more kind of competitive in a way,
yeah,
with a lot more teams in the mix, but it's the usual suspects again.
Yeah, and to be fair, the usual suspects are looking very good. We'll obviously get onto the Chiefs win, but the Buffalo Bills last night, I got up this morning to watch that game. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, you can say what you want about the Titans and obviously the players that they've lost, and how they've probably been riding their luck and riding the Derrick Henry train a bit too long anyway, and they've never actually been as good as their record suggests. But the Bills dealt with them handily. Like, the Bills look like a juggernaut right now.
Yeah,
compared to other teams. And you can say, oh, well, who have they beat? Well, they beat the defending Super Bowl champions and the team that were the number one seed in the AFC last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they've had gimmies. But the way they've just destroyed both of those teams.
Yeah.
Like, the Titans were okay for the first quarter on Monday night. And then after that, the Bills just took over offensively, defensively. The Titans couldn't live with them. For whatever reason, the Titans could not block any Bills defenders. Every single play, it just seemed like there was a free rusher coming from the defensive line or linebackers, whether it was Edmonds or Matt Milano. They just, as a unit, the Bills just look like this team that are on a mission. And we've said it before, and I know we say we've said it before quite a lot on this podcast, but
because we're always right, Tom.
That's true. I just look at the Bills and I just see the 2019 Chiefs. Yeah. As much as I don't want to see the 2019 Chiefs, I just see a team on an absolute mission, on a tear up to just to get to their ultimate goal and win the Super Bowl. And I know a lot of teams have the ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl. And I know a lot of teams will play well in September. But the Bills, just the way they're playing football, the way that they're playing well defensively, defensive line, offensive line, Josh Allen, the receivers are playing brilliant. And Stephon Diggs had another great game last night. You just look at them and you think, this is a team that are built for the playoffs and for a Super Bowl run. Okay, it only takes one bad performance to derail that. We've seen it in the past. The Chiefs played one bad half of playoff football and then next thing you know, they're going home. Yeah. So the Buffalo Bills making the playoffs, making the Super Bowl isn't a gimme. But right now, if you had to say, right, what's that? Who's the one team that we trust as a complete package? The Buffalo Bills are probably above and beyond anyone else in the NFL right now.
Yeah, the Bills are probably the most established at the minute as well, because they haven't lost a star player like the Chiefs have, and they haven't gone through a big, massive transition of change in their offensive units, their defensive units. The whole thing has been blown up in the Chiefs. But with the Bills, they just keep adding, don't they? They just keep adding to it. And I think you're right.
Are we going to eat some humble pie before we move on that certain player?
No, we're having
a look at the AFC. We're having a look at the state of the AFC two weeks in.
Yeah.
And I think we have to address that the Miami Dolphins look like they could be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, offensively, like, obviously, the Legion of Zoom is very close to our heart.
Obviously, yeah.
It's very, very close to our heart. But the Chiefs are not a Legion of Zoom by any means.
Not now.
Anymore.
No. But not passing
I am not giving the Dolphins the title. They are not having the Legion of Zoom. That doesn't pass to the Dolphins.
No, it doesn't.
But we have to acknowledge the speed on offense.
Do you know what? I was actually quite surprised in how well Tua had actually connected with Tyreek this week. I was very surprised.
And Jalen Waddle.
And Jalen Waddle as well, yeah. But I don't know. I think I'm just going to reserve judgment for now. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, great game for Tyreek. I think he got massive amounts of fantasy points for me as well in one of my teams, which I'm very grateful for. Thank you very much, Tyreek. But we may just see flashes of this now and again. We may see it consistently, but at the minute, I think, although we're getting carried away with week two, that the Chiefs are at top of the division, I'm not going to get carried away at the moment with the Dolphins.
Okay.
But we might have this discussion again.
This Sunday is 6 o'clock or noontime Kansas City. It's the Dolphins versus the Bills. So there's a measuring stick for both teams, shall we say. Let's see how the Bills deal with an offense fairly similar to the Chiefs from last year, because we know they couldn't deal with that. And let's see how the Dolphins deal with like the complete package that is the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, the Ravens are very good offensively, but the Ravens aren't great defensively, where the Bills look like, if anything, the defense is their strong point this year, which seems crazy when you're talking about a team with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in. But it'd be an interesting one this week, the Bills versus the Dolphins.
Right, should we get on to the Chargers versus the Chiefs? It's time for our smug face. It's time for our smug face. I'll admit, the first half of this game, I was a little bit concerned. I really was. I was a little bit concerned about this because the defense just was not looking particularly well. I didn't think...
Defense?
The defense didn't... Not the first half. The second half, they came out.
Did you watch the first half of that game and your concerns defense?
Well, no, I'm getting to the other bit. Don't you?
Oh, okay, cool. Please continue.
But one of the things in the first half was obviously the defense. It wasn't obviously clicking at the right time, and the Chargers seemed to be having the way with them. And one of the main things for me was
what? No, they wasn't. No, what? I'm not having this. Like, I am not here for any takes about the defense whatsoever.
Why not?
No, I'm sorry, Brad, to interrupt you. All of our concerns for Sunday or Thursday night football, none of them was the defense. Not one. Not even the pass rush. Not at any point did I watch this game and thought, the Chiefs defense aren't pulling their weight. Not at any point.
Not even in the first half.
Not even in the first half The Chiefs held the Chargers to 10 points in the first half.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' D offense could not get anything going. Anything. It was so bad offensively. And the Chiefs' offense put the Chiefs' defense in such bad positions. And they only conceded 10 points. A single touchdown and a field goal in a half in which the Chargers absolutely dominated time of possession. That was a win for the Chiefs defense. Times you can watch drives and you can see them move the ball and you think, oh, this is looking a bit easy. Like it looked Bob Sutton in the AFC Championship game-esque. You can see them they're moving ball. But when it come down to the nitty-gritty, then the Chiefs defense stepped up. There was a reason why there's a reason why Brandon Staley avoided some fourth and ones because he didn't entirely trust his offense to be able to beat this Chiefs defense. Devil's advocate, you could say, well, maybe he trusted his own defense so much that he felt like they could get a stop against a poor Chiefs offense, and maybe that's why the way he was thinking. But the Chiefs defense, I cannot get on board with any blame at any point of this game on them when the offense was just so bad early on.
I'll pull something up that you said in the previous show, right? This is our first fight. Have you noticed this? I'll pull something up.
I'm expecting my son to come downstairs and say, why are you shouting with mummy?
You said something in the previous podcast, right? That the Chargers looked as though they were playing a vanilla kind of offense in the previous game against the Raiders, didn't you? Yeah. That's what it looked like in that first half against the Chiefs. I believe that they were playing almost like a vanilla kind of offense in a way because they believed that they could actually turn this defense, this Chiefs defense, into absolute dicing it up.
Yeah, but that didn't materialize. No. I have the belief that the Chargers offense is maybe just vanilla. Maybe Joe Lombardi. Maybe Joe Lombardi is the problem in LA. Maybe the fact that Justin Herbert doesn't throw the ball downfield is the problem.
Yeah.
Everything is short, everything's under, everything's his options. Maybe that's the problem with the Chargers offense, but maybe those problems were enforced by the fact that the Chiefs defense played really well. Willie Gay was everywhere.
He was great. I will say
he was absolutely everywhere in that first half.
And Nick Bolton.
Nick Bolton was everywhere in that first half. The two linebackers in the middle. We even saw Leo Chanel make a splash play.
Yeah,
linebackers in the middle of the field and Juan Thornhill behind them and Justin Reed behind them. They were so good that the Chargers could not move the ball. And when it come down to the red zone, when it got down to inside the 30, they got stuffed. Like they scored 10 points.
Yeah.
And how many drives? I'm trying to find out how many drives the Chargers had in the first half, but I bet it was at least five.
The thing I have with the defense, and it was glaringly obvious, was the pass rush we have at the moment is terrible. It's probably one of the worst pass rushes in the league right now. And not wanting to pin it all on one player, but I will mention that Frank Clark, bless him, yes, he's lost a lot of weight and everything. That weight loss has significantly impacted the way that he can play this game. And he can't bull rush anyone. He's got no solidity about him. There's no solidity about Frank Clark anymore. And it was telling in that game that there was zero pressure. Herbert could just literally stand in a clean pocket.
Okay, I probably accept that.
And he was targeting Watson a lot.
I accept that, but what did it turn into?
Yeah, okay.
What was the end product?
Points, yeah.
And you know me, I am a stickler for judging defenses by how many points they concede, not by how many yards they give up. You know that's always been my point of view. Judge a defense by how many points they concede.
Yeah.
And in a first half, which could have quite easily got away from the Chiefs, you wouldn't have been surprised the way the offense was playing if the Chargers went in to the halftime with a 14-point lead.
Mm.
And you wouldn't have begrudged the Chargers for doing that. But no, the lead was minimal. I think it was 3 points going into halftime.
Mm.
And that was not because of Patrick Mahomes. Yes, Patrick Mahomes absolutely had his moment in the first half. That one drive and that one play in particular, that pass, sidearm pass to Jerick McKinnon, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the reason why that game was close at halftime was not because of Patrick Mahomes. It was purely because of the Chiefs defense, and I will die on this hill.
I will give him some credit in this, in the entire game, actually. The Chiefs D did very well at stopping the run again for the second week in a row.
How many yards was it that they ended up rushing for? Because Austin Ekeler, to me, it looked like every time the ball went near him, someone missed a tackle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But in the end, he only did 39 yards on 14 carries.
That's not too bad, is it?
That's not bad at all, is it? So, I mean, yes, they probably used him a little bit more in obviously the passing game. I don't have the stats for that. But the actual run game itself, it seems as though the Chiefs managed to actually stop something, at least in this defense that has plagued us all last season, of just teams running on us and us not being able to tackle. But so far, the first 2 weeks of this season, we've managed to stuff the running game. Now, it's going to be interesting next week.
The defense played badly. I can't get over this. The eye test told me that the Chiefs defense played well. And so since you've been talking, sorry, but
the points told you that the Chiefs defense played well.
Yeah, and so did the eye test. And whilst you were talking a minute ago, I'm not lying, Brad, I wasn't listening to you because I was trying to find out some evidence.
All right, okay.
Like third down defense, okay? And against every other team, third down defense matters more so than against the Chargers because of Brandon Staley's aggressiveness. But the Chargers were 5 of 16 on third downs. Mm. 5 of 16. They rushed for 3.1 yards per attempt. Justin Herbert, what? He threw the ball for 326 yards. Yeah, you say, that's a lot of yards.
It is a lot of yards.
But they still only scored 24 points with those 326 yards. Yeah. Mahomes, what? Threw for 309 last week and scored 44.
Yeah.
Like, The Chargers offense, it wasn't efficient by the amount of time that they had. They ran 20 more plays than the Chiefs and scored 3 less points. Okay, you can argue that, if they didn't throw the pick six, then the game wouldn't have swung that way and the Chiefs would have won. But guess what? They did throw the pick six. That play had to happen. Yeah. Jalen Watson had to make that play. So this narrative of the Chiefs defense being, I suppose, the worst of the two units on Thursday, I'm not having. If anything, the offense should have been buying all of the defense a beer on Thursday night because they kept them in this game.
So the worry of Mike Williams having an absolute game doesn't bother you at all?
No. A premier wide receiver had a good game. A premier wide receiver made a worldy catch against amazing coverage from Legarius Sneed, and I should worry.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. 113 yards he had and a TD.
So?
I don't want to
be... One player.
Yeah?
One player. That's all. I just can't get on board with this.
And right.
I know we're gonna disagree about
we
this.
Are
I know.
Disagree.
I can see this as soon as we hit stop recording. We're just gonna carry this on all night,
and we're gonna go to war. Tree.
And for the next few days, we're just gonna be sending clips to each other and
look at this.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs' problem on Thursday night was the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line knew how to protect Patrick Mahomes on Thursday.
Well, that pass rush is phenomenal though, isn't it, for the Chargers?
Yeah, but it's not just that. They were blitzing, like they were throwing all sorts of the offensive line and they just weren't ready.
No.
Like we thought Andrew Wiley would be a problem because it's Andrew Wiley versus a Bosa and Khalil Mack. And ultimately it was a little bit of a problem. But he wasn't the only one that struggled. Creed Humphrey struggled a little bit on Thursday night. Joe Tooney struggled a little bit on Thursday night. And Mahomes constantly had pressure in his face or having to step up into the pocket and facing more pressure, late pressure. Like, it wasn't exactly plain sailing for the offensive line. I think that's where a lot of the Chiefs' troubles started. Like, there's a nice breakdown, actually, from Brian Stewart on arrowheadpride.com, quick plug, about the offensive line struggles and how that affected the entire passing game. Like, obviously, you can say, the receivers weren't winning against the Chargers' cornerbacks. That may be true too, but Mahomes just didn't have much time. He was hurried quite a lot, and for a quarterback that's meant to be so good against the blitz, and he is normally, he looked like he struggled against the blitz for the first time in his career on Thursday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We've said it before, the Chargers pass rush was brutal. Bosa, there was a bit of an incident, wasn't there, as well, where was it Wiley had actually pulled Bosa? That was the flag anyway, wasn't it? That he pulled Bosa onto Mahomes.
That was a terrible call.
It was a terrible call, wasn't it? It was a horrible call. I mean, yes, he did have a bit of jersey, but he didn't pull him towards Mahomes.
Yeah.
And you know how they got that from did he even look at the replay?
Mm.
I don't know if it was just something they called.
I don't think you can't review them. So
no. So but that was terrible. I mean, there was a few terrible calls anyway.
I'll tell you who struggled. A couple of people that struggled this last Thursday. It's weird, isn't it? We're talking about a divisional win, but there was so much room for improvement from this Chiefs team.
Definitely.
And they still won the game against one of the better teams in the AFC. So there's a reason to be positive, shall we say. There's the reason.
That's the silver lining. Rashard
Fenton didn't have a good game. He did struggle defensively. Yeah. I'll give you that one. And also Andy Reid. He was not himself on Thursday night.
We have this Reid, don't we, now and again?
We do. Every now and then you just get a game from Andy Reid and you're just like, what is he playing at? Like, yeah, it's like, I don't like to tell many people how to do their job, but you just, you know, sometimes you see someone doing something and you think, I could do a better job than that.
Yeah.
And
you're talking about Andy Reid as well.
Yeah. And you've really got to back yourself if you think you can do a better job than Andy Reid.
But exactly. Yeah.
I just thought it was poor. Some of the play calling, the clock management, it was just all the negative parts of Andy Reid come out on Thursday night. And you can argue that it's execution, but some of the situations, some of the attempts, some of the plays that he called, you're just like, you're thinking, what are you doing? Like, you've got an offensive line that can't pass protect for love nor money, and you're not giving Patrick Mahomes like all the quick reads, all the easy options. You're trying to do all these long developing plays that just aren't going to work for you because of this offensive line can't protect. You're calling second and long runs. You're letting Chargers burn 30 seconds off the clock in the last 2 minutes of the first half. Just so many brain farts from Andy Reid, and like, he's another one that needs to walk into the coaches meeting on Monday morning and shake Spags's hand, because Spags has kind of bailed him out a little bit, and so did obviously Patrick Mahomes heroics later in the game. But I thought Andy wasn't particularly great on Thursday.
The good thing about this, though, I mean, in the second half the Chiefs really did kind of get it together a little bit more, didn't they? Defensively, they seem to have made some adjustments.
It seemed to switch when Chris Jones moved over from the left side to the right.
That was vintage Chris Jones.
Yeah.
The second half. First half, we didn't see him. For the second half, he was vintage Chris Jones.
He was everywhere. It was probably the best game he's had as a Chief in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent that second half. And he made the switch to go over to the left guard. And I can't remember the left guard's name. I apologize. Whoever it was, and Chris Jones just made his life hell. He just seemed to live in the backfield, and Herbert was hurried a lot, having to make some rash decisions, trying to get some quick throws off. And obviously it was a quick throw, which obviously the game deciding play happened on.
Yeah. We haven't spoke about the touchdown either from Justin Watson, which I've seen that play so many times now that I'm actually quite amazed by it. It's not like a flashy play as you would expect Mahomes to make, but how that play was made and how it was pulled out. I think it was Emmanuel Acho actually did a brief video, but just pointing out what was happening, what was moving around, and he dumbed it down to my level, and I loved it. But how that play was designed and how it was executed by Justin Watson and Patrick Mahomes, was phenomenal against J.C. Jackson, who was in an absolute spin. He didn't know what was going on. And it was just executed perfectly by the whole team as well. How it managed to just pull.
I don't know about that one. I think the offensive line didn't exactly have a great rep, and Mahomes had to step up away from the offensive line almost to leave
all the beauty of defense
behind. Yeah. It's certainly Mahomes' magic. Both feet off the floor. Justin Watson, give J.C. Jackson the eyes, made it look like he's going to run a little out route, and then cross them over, spanning rounds. And
I loved it.
Created enough separation right away that JC Jackson couldn't catch up. Like the throw was perfect. Half a yard behind, JC Jackson makes a play on the ball. Half a yard out in front, Justin Watson's got a catch. It's a lot more difficult than it needed to be. It was just an outstanding play. But when you got Patrick Mahomes, you kind of expect those kind of things. But now let's talk about the man of the hour.
The hero of the hour. We've got another
hero of the hour. So Justin Watson made me some money because I had a bet, an anytime touchdown bet on Justin Watson. Well, Justin Watson scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that come through. I won some money. I was very happy with my bet. You also had a bet.
I did.
On Justin Watson to score a touchdown at any time.
I did.
And
because I listened to you, I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll have a bit of that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So my bet was a single. Your bet was a double. Now, if you follow us on social, you already know about this bet. But Brad Simcox, my buddy, my pal, my friend, he made the bet of the year. And if I see a better bet than this all season, I will eat my hat, because Bradley Simcox made a double bet of a Justin Watson touchdown paired with a Chiefs defensive touchdown.
An anytime touchdown, yeah.
Anytime touchdown. So when Jalen Watson took a 99-yard return back for a pick six, Bradley, please tell the listener how many dollars you won.
I will say before I release the figure, my face was about an inch away from the TV screen, screaming at Watson to get over that line. because I put about £5 on and I won £687 back from that bet.
Which equates to about $820.
Right now.
$820 off like seven. So, Brad. Yeah. That kudos to you. Put some a round of applause over this piece as I talk, because that for me, I was excited for you. I genuinely was.
Our chat was blowing up, wasn't it? It was like Brad.
Straight away, it was like, because we watch it on a feed which is slightly behind the International Game Pass is behind your feed. It's normally about a minute 90 seconds behind, and I think Brad's, because he lives up north beyond the wall, is about 3 minutes behind. And so as soon as Jalen Watson scored that touchdown, it was just Brad in big capital letters from everyone beers on Brad. But now here's my question to you, Brad.
Yeah.
Did you tell the missus?
No, I'll tell her when my new watch arrives. I've already spent it. Yes, I thought, well, this deserves a little treat, I think. The biggest bet I've ever won. So I was like, well, I've got to mark the occasion, have I?
Congratulations. I've made some good money so far off the Chiefs this season.
We both have.
I've had two bets coming already. Thank you, Jody Fortson. Thank you, Justin Watson. I'll be releasing my anytime touchdown scorer bet in about 20 minutes time on this podcast.
Oh, will you know?
Yeah.
Bet responsibly. Yeah. I just want to give a big kind of credit shout out to Jalen Watson, because the poor lad was targeted all night by Herbert. And it wasn't going well for him for quite some time. But he really got his own back on Herbert, didn't he? From that brutal kind of kicking that he was getting. It was beautiful. I loved it. And the story that went behind it as well, we heard Mitch Holthus talking about him working in Wendy's and stuff before he was an NFL player. It was beautiful. I love those kind of stories, those kind of Cinderella stories where, you know, from somebody from nothing comes into the NFL and becomes something. And it was just a great moment. And I just wanted to give him a big shout out for that. So, well done, Jalen Watson. And thank you so much, Jalen Watson, for my nice new watch. Thank you. Right then, should we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to be previewing the game between the Chiefs and the Colts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate
in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. It's up to us to preview the Chiefs versus the Colts on Sunday, 6 o'clock our time, which is, after the weekend we've just had as well, where it's been a late night game, early morning game at 1:15. It's great to have a 6 o'clock, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the few 6 o'clocks we've got all season. I actually went straight from the evening game basically to a stag do last weekend, which a bachelor's party is what you guys call it in the States. Yeah, so
that was a struggle.
But
was it?
That was a struggle, I'm not gonna lie. But the 6 o'clock game over here, the noon kickoff to you guys over in the States, it's like one of my favorite kickoff times. Not my favorite kickoff time. I die by the 9:25 kickoff time. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
But I think we've only got 3 6 o'clocks all season or something like that, 4 6 o'clocks all season, or noon kickoffs to you guys. We haven't got many, so I'm going to enjoy this one. And I'm going to enjoy this one by heading to London. And I'm going to do a little bit of a plug here for my old stomping ground, Arrowheads Abroad. Arrowheads Abroad are hosting a meetup on Sunday night at the Hippodrome Casino in London, where they will be showing the Chiefs and Colts and loads of other NFL games. There'll be a few guys there. A few of the Arrowheads Abroad OGs will be there. A place where we've watched a lot of Chiefs games together. In fact, we watched a Chiefs-Colts game back in 2015. Was that the one where Nick Foles played for the Chiefs, quarterback? That long ago. Come down to London if you want to have a beer with us, a couple of us. Come down, say hello, and we'll watch the Chiefs smash the Colts. Spoiler alert.
You're just giving away what we're going to talk about now. Yeah. Well,
was it Nick Foles? Did Nick Foles play quarterback that game?
I think it was.
It was such a nothing game, if I remember rightly. I think we just walked into Indianapolis and just absolutely destroyed them.
With Nick Foles.
What year was that? It wasn't 2015. It was a different year, because I was at Bengals versus the then Redskins at Wembley earlier in the day, and I left to make the meetup for Chiefs Colts. And
were you already hammered by then? Probably why you don't remember it?
Yeah, absolutely, I was.
That's why it's a nothing game, mate. You don't even know who the quarterback was.
Do you know what? Like, I pride myself on having quite a good memory, like a photographic memory of the Andy Reid era Chiefs, because obviously that's where the Arrowheads Abroad stuff started. And then obviously leading into the Arrowhead Pride stuff, where it's become a bit more intense with covering this team. But I like to feel like I know pretty much all of the Chiefs games and what happens in specific plays in every single Chiefs game in the Andy Reid era. I cannot remember a thing about this Colts game last time we played them.
Brilliant. That's great, that, mate. Well done.
Good podcast. Maybe it was the game. Maybe it was the game. Baby Patrick Iyengar. Do you remember him, the guy we traded from the Cowboys?
Iyengar.
Offensive line. It might have been his debut for the Chiefs that game. And if I tell you what, I'm going to go.
Was that 2016 then?
Maybe.
You look for that. I'll get into the Colts.
I'll tell you what. If that Colts game in 2016 was Patrick Iyengar's debut for the Chiefs, you owe me £25.
Yeah. What? How?
Parker Iyengar. That was his name, wasn't it?
Parker. So,
yeah. Yeah. I've just decided you owe me.
You owe me £25 that you haven't agreed to.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay me the money when I know I'm right.
Yeah.
You carry on the concept of betting again, Tom.
Right. you carry on with your your preview of
the Colts. I'll crack on with the Colts thing because this is great podcast material. Looking back at the Colts, I thought I'd go a little bit further back for obviously because we're only week two into this season. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd look back at the Colts and see their previous season and where it all went wrong, let's say, for the Colts. Because last year they started off 6-1. I don't know if you'll remember that. You must remember that, surely. They started the season 6-1.
Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor was going to win the MVP.
Yes, exactly. Yet they finished it 9-8. Now, they seem to have picked up where they left off this year as well, because I think the last game they played last year was actually against the Jags, where they felt as though because the Jags were so, so terrible last year, mm-hmm. that they were actually going to steamroller over them and obviously try and make it into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they lost that game. And this week, or the week just gone, they lost against the Jags again. I mean, they were pummeled by the Jags.
Yes.
Royally pummeled by the Jags.
Yeah.
And obviously, Matt Ryan, he had last year. I mean, they brought Matt Ryan in, didn't they? And he had last year the worst QBR rating of his career last year.
Yeah.
Now he's in the Colts. It doesn't look as though it's going to get improved anytime soon either.
No.
Because, like we said, watching that game against the Jags this week, that was terrible. And to look at that Colts team with so many Pro Bowlers on that team.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we've said before, Pro Bowlers.
Look at the name. Look at the Pro Bowlers in the list, though. It's like Quentin Nelson. Yes,
they've got
Quentin Nelson. Yes, obviously Jonathan Taylor,
Matt Ryan.
Absolutely, Matt Ryan, Stephon Gilmore.
How did Matt Ryan get into it if he's got the worst QBR of his career?
Sorry?
How did he get in the Pro Bowl if he had the last year of the worst QBR?
Because it's a popularity contest. I don't know who's voting for Matt Ryan, to be honest. Obviously, you've got Darius Leonard. He's a good player.
Yeah.
DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
He's a good player. But this team, I in general, is just so talent poor and poorly coached right now. Now, before we get into the Colts, the current day Colts, I found my Parker Inger thing, okay?
Oh, go on then. Yeah.
I found it as per pro football reference. Tom. See, I remember something happened with Parker Inger in that game.
Yeah.
It wasn't his debut for the Chiefs. By the way, the Chiefs beat the Colts on the 30th of October, 2016, and they won 30-14. Nick Foles did play that game.
So because you got that wrong, I get £25 off you, is that
right?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But Parker Inger got a season-ending injury in that game.
Ah, right.
There we go. It wasn't his debut. It was, in fact, the climax of his season, or the finale of his season, should we say.
Oh, well, just send
anyways, you don't owe me £25 for now. And
no, just send the money in the post. It'll be fine.
Okay, and the Chiefs Kingdom just learned a little something about Parker Inger.
And betting in Britain.
But we're back to Matt Ryan. I just don't get it. I don't get the Colts. I like Chris Ballard. I do like him. And like some people were upset when obviously he left because people wanted him to be the guy to replace John Dorsey. Mm. They didn't want it to be Brett Veach. Obviously, those people are clearly wrong. Yeah. I've now been proven wrong. But Chris Ballard overall seems like a good dude, seems like an okay sort of GM, but he just keeps getting the quarterback position wrong.
Yeah.
Massively wrong. Like you think about it, since he's been in charge there, he's obviously had to deal with Andrew Luck retiring, and no one foresaw that happening. That was just totally out of the blue. But since then, he's ridden with what, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now Matt Ryan. Like,
yeah,
it's like a who's who of bad quarterbacks, isn't it? Like Matt Ryan basically is Philip Rivers. But he has an MVP and a Super Bowl appearance. His career
trajectory. He's better than Philip Rivers.
He's better than Philip Rivers. And if I tell you what, don't make me start on the whole Phil Rivers going to Canton thing.
Because, getting winding you up.
Because if Phil Rivers gets into Canton, then you have to put Matt Ryan in. You simply have to, because Matt Ryan has more yards, an MVP and a Super Bowl appearance. And he is like the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time away from winning a Super Bowl as well. Yeah. And it's rare for players, quarterbacks especially, to win a Super Bowl and an MVP and not make the Hall of Fame. Normally that's a shoe-in. It's what's going to get Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame at the end of the day. That's what's going to, the two Super Bowl rings. But anyway, that's a different point.
Yeah.
But Matt Ryan right now, this version, this statue version of Matt Ryan, that will not simply move off his spot. Defenses are just playing him and they're just teeing off. They are simply just teeing off because the Colts have no wide receivers to write home apart from Michael Pittman Jr., who's injured and questionable for Sunday with a quad injury.
Yeah.
They have what? Who's it? Paris Campbell, who's done little to nothing. His second round pick entering the league a few years ago. He's done little to nothing. Can't even tell you who the other wide receivers are. They have Naeem Hines as a receiving option out the backfield. They obviously have Jonathan Taylor. But teams are just teeing off on Jonathan Taylor and Matt Ryan and just saying, right, we'll stop you two because we don't have to worry about the nobodies in the rest of the offense. Yeah. Like the Colts, I look at the Colts and all I see is a team that are just the most old school, boring, vanilla style of offense that we have in the NFL right now. Their theory is run the football and let their one wide receiver make plays. Yeah. There's no variation. They have a quarterback that doesn't move out the pocket. They have a run game, which they're heavily reliant on, and they have one wide receiver. That is early 2000s football style. That's not football made for 2022. It's not football made for the last 5 or 6 years. It's the type of football that every now and then the Patriots could get away with. But guess what? They had Tom Brady. Yeah, they don't have Matt Ryan. They also had an excellent defense, but not the Indianapolis Colts. They are so talent poor on offense that when they're relying on someone like Matt Ryan to try and make a comeback against the bloody Jacksonville Jaguars, they can't even manage it against them. They are so poor offensively. Like, they've played the worst teams in the NFL in the previous 2 weeks, and they've come away from it winless. I actually tipped them stupidly to win 10 games this year and win the AFC South. Now I'll be surprised if they finish third in their division. They've started the season that badly. Frank Reich, he is on a hot seat. His bottom is burning right now.
Yeah.
Because if they go 0-3 on Sunday, which I fully expect them to go 0-3, I really do expect the Chiefs to deal with the Colts quite handily, to be honest. Mm. I hear all this talk about trap game. I don't believe it. I think the Chiefs are going to destroy the Colts. But when they go 0-3 on Sunday, their percentage, the chances of making the playoffs dips and dips and dips. They are just fortunate that they are in a division which has four terrible teams in it, and you can probably win it with 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the offense did not shine at all. And like you said, one trick pony in the fact that they have Jonathan Taylor, which he just really got snuffed out against the Jags, which again is surprising because
in the first half, he had 5 carries for 5 yards in the first half against the Jags.
See, so you as soon as you shut that down,
yeah.
What else?
You're relying on Matt Ryan to beat you.
And I'm
a Matt Ryan guy. I like Matt Ryan. I wanted to, but the year that he came out, I think it was the same year that it might have been the same year the Chiefs drafted Tyson Jackson, maybe, or Glenn Dorsey won those two.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that Matt Ryan was going to fall to the Chiefs. But obviously at that point, the Chiefs were in the ultimate quarterback purgatory. You're talking about Damon Hewer, Tyler Thigpen, Brody Croyle, those type of days. That they were in purgatory. And I wanted the Chiefs to draft Matt Ryan. And had the Chiefs drafted Matt Ryan that year, I would have been very happy. And for 10 years, he looked like a very good, serviceable quarterback. But he's just hit the wall. He has hit the wall. He's hit, like, do you remember Matt Schwab, the old Texans quarterback that was very good for a few years? Well, I say very good, serviceable for a few years, and then just kind of hit a wall and just fell off a cliff. And that's what's happening with Matt Ryan now. Mm. He's got to a point in his career where he's just not very good anymore. The game's kind of gone above and beyond him. You cannot have, unless you have got supreme arm talent like Tom Brady, or when Aaron Rodgers moves out the pocket, basically, unless you're Tom Brady, you have to be able to move as a quarterback.
It's all about
Matt Ryan about your reads, move, so he's getting left behind. Sorry? Yeah.
It's all about your reads and stuff as well, and pre-snap and things like that, isn't it? And it doesn't seem.
I don't doubt Matt Ryan and Ryan's mental ability at all. I still can imagine that he's up there with the best of them, but physically, he's just so far behind in terms of arm talent of Tom Brady and the ability to move. Like Mahomes, like Rodgers, like, I don't know, even Justin Herbert, his lack of ability to be able to move is just hampering him, and teams are just teeing off him. They know all they need to do is close the pocket. They don't need to try and set an edge against him. They don't have to worry about any of that. Smother their piss poor wide receivers, and they're going to have an easy day against them. And the Jacksonville Jaguars did that perfectly on Sunday, and that's a reason why the Colts didn't score any points.
I feel like we have to give them some sliver of praise in a way, a little bit maybe, or some glimmer of hope, let's say. That's probably not praise. Praise is probably a bad word. But I didn't think defense looked particularly all that bad.
You didn't watch the same game as
No. They were bad, but when you compare them with the other half of the team, they were probably the only glimmer of hope they've got to actually even competing against the Chiefs.
I think it's been established tonight on podcasts that you don't know how to evaluate defenses.
I'm not saying this Colts defense is like world beaten and it's going to be the major issue. But what I'm saying,
Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk, Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't been very good in his career so far. That James Robinson,
yeah,
and who's the other running back? Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is not an elite cast of offensive weapons.
No.
But they looked elite because of the Colts defense.
Yes.
Like Trevor Lawrence, that was the first time in his entire career that he's looked like a first-round quarterback on Sunday. Yeah, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the pass. They just didn't know what to do. Like, even the goal line plays with Trevor Lawrence running a little out with the option pass to Christian Kirk. Like, imagine the fun that Andy Reid's going to have down the goal line against this Colts defense.
I'm trying to give him a glimmer of hope, Tom. Come on. Let me help me out here.
Like,
out of both sides of the ball, the defense is probably their only glimmer of hope, I think, going into this game.
I think
the defense can't win the game, though, for them.
No, the defense ain't going to win. They're not going to win this game. They're just simply not. I don't care how loud Lucas Oil is. It is a Lucas Oil Stadium, isn't it?
I think so.
It is a road game. I don't care how loud Lucas Oil Stadium is. I just cannot see a way the Colts win this game. Maybe if Jonathan Taylor truly goes off and the team commit to like a death by paper cuts type of run through Jonathan Taylor. Maybe the fact that Willie Gay isn't going to be there on Sunday may make a little bit of a difference. But I think this game's probably teeing up perfectly for a Leo Chanel type of game, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, he's a thumper who wants to hit. Let him go hit the Colts offensive line. Let him go hit the running backs. Maybe they can have some success there with moving the ball. Maybe not. But ultimately, it's quarterback versus quarterback and Patrick Mahomes versus Matt Ryan / Philip Rivers / Carson Wentz. It's a no contest for me.
The one thing that bothers me about Jonathan Taylor is the fact that we will not have Willie Gay for this game for the next four games due to that suspension, won't we?
Yeah.
Now he's been brilliant, Willie Gay. First two games this season. And him and Nick Bolton, and they've been a fantastic pairing. So I'm kind of a little bit concerned. I will be looking at that, I think, during the game, just thinking, right, are they going to plug the gaps that, Jonathan Taylor's going to be coming through? And is that going to be enough, whoever we've got in that linebacking group there? But that's the only thing that concerns me. That's the only thing that I'm really fussed about and really bothered about, because, like you said, I think our cornerbacks are going to be very capable. And I think the likes of Fenton and Watson are going to get a bit more confidence out of this game. They should do.
Because they're going against a bunch of no-names. Unless Michael Pittman... Obviously, if Michael Pittman plays, then they've got a bit more to think about. And he's a very good wide receiver. But in terms of our coverage defenders versus their wide receivers, I put our money on our coverage defenders. Yeah, Willie Gay not being there is a little bit of a problem. But I think it's more of a problem for the Nyheim Hines type of thing. Though, because Hines is a very, very, very good pass-catching running back. Out the flats, out the backfield. That's what he's in there for. They never just put the ball in his belly and let him run between the tackles. Yeah. He is a pass catching running back. And I feel like that's where Willie Gay could be missed. But I still think maybe Spags will bring in like Elijah Lee, maybe for like third downs, maybe his nickel patch. Maybe we'll see a bit more of Brian Cook. I'm not too sure. But in terms of stuffing a run, I don't think Willie Gay makes that much of a difference. I think Leo Chanel maybe be able to come in and be the other guy next to him, next to Nick Bolton, and probably have just as much of an effect on the Colts run game as, say, Willie Gay probably could have.
Actually, yeah, Chanel is probably it's probably a more suitable game for him. This isn't it, I suppose, isn't it? Definitely. Yeah, I suppose you're right there. Right, okay. Predictions.
The Chiefs now, are going to win this so comfortably.
So. Wait, what are we saying though? What margin are we saying here?
The over under is only set at 6.5.
Is it?
Yeah. No, sorry, not the over-under. The Chiefs are only 6.5-point favourites.
Oh, I was going to say, the over-under, I'm taking that over.
Like, hammer that.
Yeah.
I'll be what? Hammering that.
Hammer the over.
Sure. The 6.5-point favourites, the Chiefs are going to cover easily.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Chiefs will probably win 34, maybe 13, maybe.
All right.
I think it's going to be convincing.
Yeah.
Like Frank Reich, he's just not a coach that scares me. Matt Ryan's not a quarterback that scares me.
Yeah.
Their defense doesn't scare me. I think we're much more likely to see the Cardinals type of performance from the Chiefs than we are, say, the Chargers. And this game will be another comfortable one for all to watch.
I think it's going to be comfortable as well, but I'm going to go 31-6.
Wow.
And it won't be a touchdown. It'll be two field goals for the Colts.
They've got a new kicker this week as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Blankenship. They got rid of him, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did.
I can't believe that. I liked him.
Why did you like him?
Because I just felt like he was one of the normal guys that proved that anybody could.
Because he wore glasses and was small.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
was he like your role model for you making the NFL? Was he?
I can make it one day.
Anyways, anytime touchdown scorer.
Go on then.
Who's it going to be this week?
Do you know what? You've had it. You've nailed it twice.
I know.
Did you have... you had Fortson.
And you had Watson,
didn't you? Okay. Oh.
Well, I'm going back to the well.
All right.
Back to the Fortson well. Jody Fortson. Anytime touchdown score again this week.
Do you think he gets one or two? I'm taking notes, mind. I'm taking
just one. Just one. I'll tell you, Jody Fortson, he's getting... 9 touchdowns this season.
Yeah?
Yeah, he is. You heard it here first. And he's going to get another one on Sunday. He's going to be like the ultimate road touchdown machine. He won't score many at Arrowhead, but he's going to get loads on the road. And, Jody Fortson will get another touchdown this season.
Very nice. I like that.
He's going to moss Darius Leonard. And, yeah.
He's going to moss him.
Yeah.
I like your love for Jody Fortson, mate. I really do. It's sweet. It's lovely. It's really nice.
Mahomes actually almost threw an interception force feeding Jody Fortson one the other day.
Yeah.
He did. Mahomes last point about the Chargers game. Mahomes was lucky on Thursday night.
Yeah. Very lucky. Yeah, I think you're right. There was a couple there where you think
yeah. I know what? he took his dig at PFF and whatnot. But his turnover luck on Thursday was just crazy in his favor compared to last season where everything went against him.
Yeah.
His turnover luck on Thursday was just like, I feel like he got all of his good luck in one particular game on Thursday, and maybe he won't be so lucky next time.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown it in yet, has he?
Somehow.
Somehow. How's he done that so far? No idea. Right then. That's all we've got time for this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, then please let us know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Also, stick around on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network for more Chiefs content. And of course, keep up to date with everything Chiefs with daily content on your website, arrowheadpride.com. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.